This is The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Good morning, and good morning to you, my partner in crime.
Good morning, Beth Ann. I'm glad to see you're going to start the day off with a little controversy, get the adrenaline going.
Oh, we mean talking about welfare.
Oh, yes.
Well, we are. What would you say, though, to a Hawaii single mom having two kids living on government assistance equal to almost $50,000 annually? No taxes, no work. Maybe you'd ask how that's possible. According to the Cato Institute's Work versus Welfare Trade-off report released this week, Hawaii holds a top spot for total welfare dollars going to an average recipient. Locally, the Grassroots Institute says the work disincentive brings more than just a financial cost. It's perpetuating a poverty of self-reliance. Dr. Kaili'i Akina is president of the Grassroots Institute and joining us this morning for a new run at an old argument. You know, we've been hearing this for a very long time, the idea that it's easier to be on welfare than to work. And so why would someone want to make a transition to work? What do we say to that in this new report, which seems to be making the same point?
Well, good morning, Beth Ann. I want to clarify something. It's important to realize that the Cato Institute, which lines up the welfare benefits for all 50 states, is not talking about welfare recipients. It's not suggesting at all that they're lazy or don't want to work. What it's doing is pinpointing what's happening in the system. We, as a society, are making it more profitable for people to be on welfare than to actually go out and work.
That's the whole idea of the disincentive, and one that has existed for quite a while, because the first time they did this report was in 1995.
Yes, and it shows a continuing trend. Unfortunately, we happen to be number one in the nation, and that's pretty precarious for a state in which there are such high levels of unfunded liabilities and other financial challenges. It's something that's just simply unsustainable.
Looking at this, though, just to be clear for people who are listening and who haven't perhaps seen the report, this is somewhat of a hypothetical situation because they're looking at it, what they call an average recipient, a single mom over the age of 21 with two kids. They're assuming that mom is not working and that mom is getting a whole host of welfare benefits. And not every recipient, real recipient, would be receiving all of those benefits.
But absolutely.
Looking in the case if they were, this is what it would be.
We're talking about some statistical averages, which give us a pretty good idea as to what's going on. For example, the typical welfare recipient in this report receives about $60,590 in pre-tax benefits and cash. Now, when you compare that to the entry level of being a computer programmer, a teacher, or an assistant city prosecutor, it points out that it's more profitable to stay on welfare than to go out and get a job. Again, that's not speaking to the character of welfare recipients, but it suggests we've got something wrong in the system because we really should be creating opportunities and incentives for people to be in the workforce. That would be good for the economy.
Well, given the economy and what we've been through over the last several years, that may or may not have been a possibility. The question that the report seems to be asking now is, looking at this point going forward, are we going to let the system continue as it has been, which you say is unsupportable, and that's their point as well, or are we going to fundamentally look at how we deliver welfare benefits? Not saying that they should go away, but how do you change the system? So how do you?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize that welfare is not the system. It's only the result of a much broader approach to managing our economy. Stephen Moore, a Wall Street Journal analyst, has put together a good amount of research that shows that the societies that have robust, economically competitive free market economies tend to produce those things that help the middle class and the poor far better than societies with high welfare programs. And so that's where we have to start. We have to look at the economic competitiveness of Hawaii, and we need fiscal policies that enable our economy to grow. And then that, as a result, will enable us to have a more reasonable approach to welfare.
Your point is that none of this exists in a vacuum, and everything is inextricably linked with everything else, which, you know, we kind of know. And yet here we are in the situation in which we find ourselves, and we have a lot
sure.
of benefits going out and an unsupportable situation with unfunded liabilities and more things that we can talk about in the next 3 minutes. Where do we go from here?
Well, the bottom line is, leadership. You see, leadership needs to look at the big picture. The Alec Laufer Report, Rich States, Poor States, shows that states like Texas that have robust economies tend to provide the things that people who are at the lower end of the economy, the poor, as well as lower middle class, really need, or what we call fairness. So we need leadership that understands the economy. We have elections coming up in 2014. Now, Grassroot Institute is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, but we encourage voters to be intelligent, to evaluate candidates as well as sitting officials on the basis of their economic policy.
But come back to this, looking just at the welfare part of this for the moment. If you put that under your scopes and say, this is where we are now, what kind of transition do you see possible, given the state that we're in and the kind of politics generally that we have, to be able to create a sense of fairness and also a sense of opportunity?
Well, if we're trying to engineer a higher level of fairness and distribution of goods in society by working on the welfare system, we're at too narrow a level. And we have problems in terms of trying to change systems that have developed over decades. Instead, what we really need, and I'll have to say it again, is leadership. We need brave political leadership with a vision of a more robust, economically competitive economy. And when we have that as really the driving force, we will then give the guidance to the institutions that we have to result in greater fairness.
Meanwhile, you've got a lot of people who are still sitting at that very low end of the economy who are going to have some help. And all the talk and transition and leadership aside, what do you do for those people where they are right now?
Well, one little piece is a call for greater transparency and accountability. Certainly, this doesn't apply to all welfare recipients, but when I released this article, or at least our report on the Cato article, we were contacted by an actress who was very, very informative. She said that her acting company here in Hawaii had actually recruited her and used the welfare system as part of her compensation package and had instructed her and the other actresses and actors as to how to use the welfare system to supplement their income. And on that basis, she made the decision to come to Hawaii. Now, this story happens over and over again when we're giving an incentive to people to use welfare rather than to work. So those kinds of practices need to come under the microscope a little more, and we need to have a little better management. But bottom line, Beth Ann, until we change leadership at the highest levels, that's not going to happen.
So this woman is, in some ways, you know, being able to skirt a lot of issues with funding and being able to pay taxes and do her, what some would say, fair share. But that's not the average person. When we're talking about a mom with kids still in Hawaii today, this moment, very quickly, what do you think we have to do as a first step for that person?
Well, I do believe that we need to have a safety net. But the bottom line is this. Until we have a robust, economically competitive economy, we're not going to be able to afford to actually serve such people. And so I'm going to say it again. It goes back to leadership.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. Thanks so much for coming in. William Keili'i Akina, Ph.D., is president and CEO of the Grassroot Institute Hawaii. He says his mission is to develop the public policy think tank into a society-transforming champion of freedom in Hawaii and the Asia Pacific. If you'd like to see the Cato Institute's Work versus Welfare report for yourself, it's on the website, hpr2.org.